Welcome to the Prime Fitness Project. My name is Eric Giroux, co-founder of Prime Fitness in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Get ready to have a lot of fun as we talk exercise, nutrition, and weight loss. We're going to talk to real clients, trainers, and other wellness colleagues to help you lead your Prime Fitness life. Hey, what's happening, podcast? It's Eric, and it is we're on Friday afternoon here on January, I think it's the 25th, and I am having the awesome experience of sitting down with a good friend and colleague of mine, Pete McCall. And Pete is a fitness warrior. He's been a fitness educator and warrior in the industry for a long time. He has taught me a gazillion things over the course of my career, and he has educated hundreds, if not thousands, of other trainers on a lot of things fitness. The cool thing is, Pete and I are right around the same age. We have a lot of cool things to talk about fitness over 40, and what that means. Pete, it's funny about Pete and I is I always talk about how it's interesting that our paths have never crossed until probably about the past 5 or 6 years. Because Pete grew up in the D.C. metro area, Bethesda, right?
Silver Spring.
And I grew up in Silver Spring, so it's even crazier. You worked at Bally's in Rockville, didn't you?
Years ago. Yeah, the one up on Rockville Pike, yeah.
And I worked out there for years.
Yeah.
Played a lot of racquetball there. And our paths just never... Oh, you rode BMX.
Yeah, rode BMX. Raced BMX up at... For people that live in Maryland, I raced at Rockville BMX years ago before it folded. And then I raced at Columbia and Howard County BMX and would drive up and down the East Coast for BMX races back in the 80s.
That's crazy.
So that's what we did in the 80s.
I was at Rockville BMX all the time. And yeah. So, I don't know. It's bizarre what a small world it is and how our paths have never crossed until this point.
And you grew up in Wheaton. I have friends that ride half pipes still in Wheaton. I have friends that now we're almost 50, right? And we used to go around 30 years ago and steal wood to build half pipes. And now these guys have massive, and they still ride them. And they post videos. These guys, my buddies that... We all grew up together, and we grew up riding Lansdowne up in Baltimore for people that might be local that recognize that. But it was just something we did, and as we've gotten older, nobody's wanted to give that up. Like, I still mountain bike like I used to BMX.
Yeah.
And I'm not as fast anymore, and my tires stay a little bit closer to the ground, but I'm still doing it, It's still getting out there and doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's, I stopped riding half pipes when I realized that I could really break my neck. I stopped. I'm
going to
probably kill myself, so we should stop.
I dialed it back once I started studying physics. And once you start realizing the impact forces and you start quantifying it, you're like, me. It's like, I think when you don't know, you're blissfully unaware. I think you're like, oh, okay, cool. 20 feet in the air, not a big deal. Once you start calculating that and seeing the newtons and understanding how much damage that can do to the body, and when you feel that a few times, you're like, I'm going to do something safer, like play rugby. And that's when I stopped doing BMX stuff and played rugby for a number of years.
It's a little bit safer.
It's just a different. Yeah.
It's a little bit different. That's right.
Forces impacting, but you say I'm an educator. So for listeners, number one, I want to say thank you, Eric, for having me on the podcast. I appreciate what you had. It's fun to watch. And it's funny. Yeah, you're right. We've known each other, and I've known your wife, Christy, for years because she and I worked together. I mean, I was an instructor and a trainer when she was a fitness manager once upon a time. And we just, this business works. We've always stayed in connection. We've always stayed in contact. And that's how we met. When you and Christy met, I think you're working for the same company. I was working for an organization. We see each other at shows. And now it's fun to come back. And it's fun. Well, number one, it's fun to watch what you guys do on Facebook because you guys are running a killer studio. I mean, you guys are doing it. No, but you guys are doing it the right way. You have a community. You're doing the programming the right way. You're putting a community aspect on it. So that's fun to see. And so for listeners, what I do, see, Eric and Christy, your job is make half-naked people sweaty, right? I mean, that's basically what you do.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, maybe not. I mean, some people are more or less, whatever.
Sure.
But your job is make people sweaty.
Yeah.
My job is to help you guys learn how to do that more effectively. So while you have, in the fitness industry, you have trainers and instructors, there are many people that do that. But then there's another layer above them. I don't want to say above them, but I guess there's another layer because you do the two. I mean, you and Christy each teach for certain things, but what we do as instructors is we educate other trainers about how to be trainers. And that's what we've evolved into. So that's really what I've interacted with you guys the most is just being in that realm of where we will see each other. You guys are teaching a workshop, I'm teaching a workshop, and it's been fun. I mean, it's been really cool to see you guys evolve into that.
Yeah, when we first opened Time Fitness, when we were open to see, one of our goals back then was to actually advance our fitness educating. We wanted to get out there and do more educating. At that point in time, I was with TRX, Christy was with Trigger Point, and with NASM, and so we kind of saw this avenue that we really wanted to still reach more trainers, because I do love training trainers. It's one of the things I love to do, and I really love to help them learn that, you know, the broader stroke of things when it comes to training and coaching. Unfortunately, that's not what I meant to say, but what happened was we were only in business for about a year, and then Christy got pregnant with our son. Much faster than we anticipated.
It's funny how that works, huh?
So it's much faster than we anticipated, and so we were like, okay, we gotta manage the studio that we just started. We got an infant at home, and we said the one thing that we're gonna have to pump the brakes on is probably our fitness education side of our career is gonna have to take a little bit of a backseat for a while. And funny is, this year was the year we said, okay, he's older now. He's gonna be 6 in May, and this is the year that we feel like we can start to bring that back.
Cool.
And we can start, you know, reaching back out and getting involved, getting more involved with, you know, teaching and educating trainers, doing workshops, and that's kind of how we're starting off 2019 this way. So this came up at a great time for me to say, wow, this is a great opportunity for me to kind of sit down and talk with you, and I just keep the connection going, man. I love it.
But it's fun, and so we're talking. So for listeners, we were talking about, like, because I do a podcast. Eric and Chrissy have started this podcast. And there's been a big, what do you think, Eric? Because there really, I don't want to say there's so much information out there about fitness, but I don't know if it's being consumed the right way or being used the right way. You know, how do you think? Because I would say now that in more time ever, we have information about what we should be doing.
Yeah.
But how do we figure out what's right for us, each individual person, right? Like, what do you tell people in your studio? Like, how do you tell them that, hey, this is best for you? You might see this. Like, I might see something and be like, hey, Eric, I want to, pick up a heavy barbell, swing a heavy kettlebell. How would you tell me, you know what, you can get there, but we got to start somewhere else first?
I think first and foremost for me is always, I say, you got to find something you like, right? You got to find something you like, because if, weight training or if, cardio isn't your thing, find something that you like, because that's the one thing you're going to probably do on a regular basis. That's number one. And then number two, I always try and, whenever we have beginners or newbies start with us, and either they're, years out of working out or they've never worked out before in their life, the first thing I always tell them is you'll get to that next level, but you have to start here. You have to start somewhere. And if it's something as just basic movements, I ask them to trust me or Christy and our staff and say, we want you to move better before you can earn the right to go to the next exercise or earn the right to go to the next movement pattern, whatever it might be. And trust us, put a little bit of trust in us that we're gonna get you there, and it'll actually happen probably faster than you think if you scale down now so that you can avoid injury and you have some level of success, and then you'll see the successes kind of pile up over time.
And see, that's why I think most people miss, Eric, is, and for listeners, is we see these things, right? You might see somebody in the gym doing a cool exercise. You might see something that, hey, I used to do that, or you want to be able to do that, but we always have to respect what we can do now, not what we used to be able to do, right? Because we used to be able to do, I used to be all pro, no, not never all pro or anything, but in the rugby community, there's a shirt there. It's like, the older I get, the better I was, but when it comes to the gym, we always have to remind us that we were built, our bodies are built to move.
Yeah.
Our bodies are built to move. And what do we not do during most of the day?
We don't move.
We're just talking about this. Our kids are about the same age. And the one thing I'm noticing now, my oldest daughter is 6 and a half, about the same, a little bit older than your son, is that she's now one of the oldest kids at the playground, because most of the other kids now are in structured activities.
Yeah.
And I've been noticing that, and I've been realizing that, wow, at about 7 or 8 years old then, kids stop playing and stop going in and start going into structured activities. So for adults, what's that do for us as adults, right? Because what are we doing most of the day? We're sitting in a freaking office, not moving. And for us, do we play? When was the last time we went out and played on the playground?
I haven't thrown football in 3 years. Yeah.
Dude, even just, just literally just playing with some friends before a game or something, throwing a football around. But that play is so important. And I think for one of the worst things we've done in fitness is say it always has to be about the exercise. Mm-hmm. And not, so we create this construct. And I don't want to take people away from coming to your studio, because people should be going to your studio for the coaching, for the programming. But we've taken away this construct of like, hey, just be active.
Yeah.
Right now, people don't think about being active. They think, well, I got to go to the gym and do this, and I have to do this structured activity, instead of saying, hey, just be active.
Yeah.
You know, be active and be just be just move.
Just move. I mean, I think that you, when people come to me, one of the first things they kind of always question is, how are 30-minute workouts enough? And I'm like, well, we treat our workouts as deliberate, prescriptive, and purposeful, right? It's a workout. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be active more parts of your day and or more frequently throughout your week. And you would be amazed at the people that kind of have the deer in headlights look when they say, well, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know. Go out to your garden. Go out to, you know, mow your grass. I mean, do anything. Walk, ride a bike, play with your kid. Anything that has you moving.
But we've taken that all out, right? Because now, I mean, like, you know, in California, if I were out mowing my yard in California, people would think something's wrong because my gardener's not out there, you know, because I'm not paying somebody else to do it. When in reality, that's an hour a week that I could be getting, you know, pushing a mower for an hour is good exercise, absolutely, good activity. And it doesn't take that long. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I like the smell of a fresh cut lawn.
I mean, that
harkens back to my days growing up in high school, where all I wanted to do was to have a landscaping company.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, dude. That was like Montgomery County. Every kid.
At one point in time,
everybody wanted a pickup truck with a landscaping company.
We all did. I did too.
You know, and it's just, but it's so funny now to look at that and think about that. And at one point, and that's the other thing too, is like with jobs, is at one point, I don't know about you, but at one point when I was younger, I was interested in all kinds of jobs that would be physically active throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe law enforcement, whatever, before I got into training, because you're being active throughout the day. And one of the things I love about our business now is it's okay to move. Like, I can be in meetings now and I stand up. I'll be in the middle of a meeting with executives of a company I'm working with, and I'll get up and start walking around the meeting because I can't stand being seated for too long.
Yeah.
And I give people permission. When I run meetings, I give people permission to do that, because I'm like, look, especially working with fitness professionals, I'm like, we are not meant to be stationary for more than a few minutes at a time.
Mm.
So for people listening, if you ever feel the need to get up and move, be that outlier. I don't care if people look at me funny. I get up and I'll go stand in the back of the room. I don't want to be disrespectful to the speaker or disrespectful to what's going on, but I don't know about you. I'm just not comfortable if I'm, you know, if I'm stationary for more than 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah, I 100% agree. This could be a whole other discussion, but about a year ago, I was chasing the end result and not enjoying the process with owning a business, right?
Mm.
And so the end result was the number of people in my door and the dollar amount that it was going to, and I needed a dollar amount, obviously, to provide for my family.
Yeah, you need to have the metrics. You have to have the quantifiable, yeah.
But I was stuck on that. And so I found myself sitting my ass behind my computer more hours of the day than I ever have in my life.
Mm.
You know, and I was basically banging my head against the monitor, you know, with things that I didn't enjoy doing. And so one of the things as we've moved into, as a business, as we've moved into 2019, I told Christy, I said, I'm going to love the process again this year. I'm going back to the process. So now I'm training more one-on-one than I've trained in 5 years. I'm coaching more boot camps than I read, and I'm happier than I ever have been. And I can attribute most of it to being the fact that I'm actually up and I'm moving.
But let's take that, Eric. That's a brilliant analogy, because how many people get caught up in that? And then when they do come to the gym, if people do make time for the gym, what do? They do the stuff they think they should. They use the machines, or they don't know what to do. They follow somebody around. And it's not that they don't want to exercise. They just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Or they put, and I've coached this for years. I don't want you focused on a weight. I do not want you focused on the outcome. I want you focused on the process. I want you focused on enjoying being physically active. You know, because look, you might lose 5 or 10 pounds. That's where I think we make a mistake, is we get so hung up on 5 pounds, 10 pounds, this many inches. It muddles the mind, when in reality, we should just enjoy being active.
Yeah.
Enjoy playing, enjoy doing some chores. Make it about the fun. like for me, it's so funny. I meet people sometimes, and you know, if I were to still shop at Sears, I haven't shopped at Sears forever, but I'd still be buying the Husky jeans. You know, if I were buying the tough skins from Sears or whatever, the JCPenney, I always wore Husky size when I was a kid. You know, I'm not a super skinny guy. I don't have six-pack abs, but at 46 years old, I can deadlift over 300 pounds. I can ride my mountain bike wherever I want. I have that ability. I can pick up both my kids at the same time. And I can, the funny thing is now at 46, do you know my back hurts most? My back hurts most when I'm seated for 10 hours. If I spend 10 hours on my butt, whether I'm flying somewhere like a long, you know, overseas, or whether I'm in meetings for 2 or 3 days, my back hurts worse than if I'm swinging an 80-pound kettlebell. I can swing an 80-pound kettlebell, back is fine the next day. Yeah. I can spend 10 hours in a plane, and I can barely walk for 2 days because my back is so thrashed. Yeah. To me, that just reinforces that it's about the process, not the outcome.
Yeah.
Move. And for me, for my own fitness, I just want to be fit. I just want to be active. And my definition of fitness, and this is for listeners, I really think fitness is so, I did this a while ago. I went to 3 or 4 different dictionaries, and I looked up the definition of the word fitness. It was about capacity, ability, work rate. There's nothing in there about appearance. Not one of the dictionaries had anything in there about appearance. There wasn't a picture of like, this is what fitness looks like. It's a verb, it's not a noun. You know, it's an act. It's, you know, the process of being fit.
Yeah.
Therefore, fit is an action, it's not an appearance. If you're fit, you can do, you have ability. If you're fit, you have strength. If you fit, you have endurance. And here we are hung up on what we look like, what people look like. I think that's the, you know, most inappropriate thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason why we should be focused on weight at all is too much excess body fat is bad for our health.
Correct.
All right, but when you look at the big population studies, the people that are slightly overweight live longer than people that are slightly underweight. And they don't know why. For listeners, they look at these huge population studies of, there's a famous nurses study that followed nurses for years. And when they look at these population studies and they follow a cohort of people, the people that are a few pounds overweight but physically active always have longer morbidity, meaning they die later. It's the people that are overly physically active that might be endurance runners. People can actually have heart attacks from overtraining for marathons. I mean, that's the one thing that's not talked about much in the ultra and the marathon community,
yeah,
is people are dying training for ultra races. I mean, yeah, it's, on one hand, it's healthy, but there is some evidence to support that the heart has only certain many cycles or strokes. So it's like, okay, what do you want to be? Do you want to chase this idea of perfection? Do you want to chase this idea of appearance or this idea of a goal weight and be miserable? Like you sitting in your office chasing that number.
Right.
You have this idea of, I want X amount of members. I need Y amount of revenue. So you're making yourself miserable chasing the number instead of just enjoying the process.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect analogy, Eric, for I think a lot of people get fitness wrong, is we chase the outcome instead of enjoying the process. So what I want people to do, what I try to coach people to do, is just enjoy, to your point, which is 100% right on, find your favorite activity and enjoy the process. Or pick a new activity and pick it up. The one thing I want to start doing, of course, I've met with some certain pushback from it, but skydiving. So once I can get through that, that's the, hopefully I can. But there's a jump center not far from me, but I can learn something new. Like I can do accelerated jumps, and within a month get a license to jump out of planes.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's just a different way to be active, a different way to use their body. And I haven't done it yet, but I would imagine, you know, free falling at X, you know, miles an hour requires a little bit of muscle control.
I would think so.
All right, so
do you guys have a sky zone near you? You have one of those?
We have a sky zone, but I'm like, I'm not going to spend that much money.
It's insane how much it costs.
Yeah, I know, but that's
like
the thing.
90 seconds of like fly time.
Or you spend a little bit more money and jump out of a plane.
Yeah,
you go on a tandem free fall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'd rather, what am I going to do? You sit there and float for 90 seconds?
Yeah.
Or spend another $50 and, you know, hurl out of a plane at 10,000 feet?
Oh.
I just haven't done that. It's on the list.
Okay. All right. I like that. It's fun. I don't really think I haven't really, you know, found something that I knew that I want to try. But that was one of the things that I took. I got out of the, when I was telling you earlier, when we were talking about, you know, why did I start this podcast, and I told you I didn't think they were going to do very well for a long time, and then I started to fall in love with him. I listened to Gary Vaynerchuk's podcast all the time, and one of the things he said to do is that as we get older, we have to make sure we continue to sample shit, is what he says.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta get out of the mindset of like just getting stuck in a rut, and it doesn't make a difference what it is. It means if you find a new hobby, if you find something that's active, you know, find it, try it, and if, you know, if it enhances your life, then amazing, continue doing it, and then guess what? It might lead you down the road of trying something else.
Well, I think for anything, if you enjoy it and it doesn't hurt others, why not?
Man.
Yeah, why not? I mean, some people might enjoy a certain type of activity, but you know, but that's where I do want to say there is a but. There is a but there, and this is for there's so many silly paradoxes with fitness, right? There's so many paradoxes because we tell you exercise is good, but then we say too much exercise is bad, because that's true, right?
True.
There's a fine line between there's enough, and overtraining is a serious, could cause health risks. But there's also too of if you're looking, you know, we tell you that you should be active, but then we tell you not to be overly active. But there's also a thing if you do only one activity. That's the other thing that I think that for listeners to pay attention and fall into. Like, you don't want to fall into, yes, bar might be a great format. Boot camp might be a great format. Indoor cycling might be a great workout format, but they're not the only thing you should be doing.
Yeah.
You should be trying to do, how do you explain that to the people that come to your studio that they should be doing different types of fitness and not just one type?
Well, first off, the first thing I say to them is, like, what is your goal for working out, right? What is your reason for working out? Because if someone comes to me and they say, you know, my goal is to lose XYZ pounds or whatever, I'm like, okay, I can get that. We'll put that over here to the side. But what is the ultimate reason for you exercising and then wanting to lose that weight? Why do you want to do that sort of stuff? And I'm like, okay, so your end result is, like, you either like to A, fit better in your clothes, you want to be, you know, around longer for your kids, and that's why it's important for you to lose 20, 30 pounds, whatever. Okay, this is why this is good for you here to do boot camp 4 or 5, you know, or train 4 or 5 days a week, whatever it might be. And then I'll say to them, you know, but if you want to have longevity with this and you want to have, if you want to be sustainable with your fitness, you got to try other things, right? And if you're interested in going and trying, you know, a different kind of class, if you want to try spin class, if you want to try another group exercise format, I'm all about it, man. Go ahead, give it a whirl, you know, and find out what you do and don't like about it. Come back and ask me questions. I think the other thing, too, where a lot of people come to me about recently, and this kind of started, this is one of the reasons why I stopped training youth athletes. I stopped training youth athletes because there was a lot of need that everybody wanted their child to start training for specificity at the age of 9 and 10 years old.
I've been trying to unwork some of that in my area too, because it's just like, you want to tell the kids, you want to tell the parents, yes, you want your kid to be a better athlete, but here's the thing, teach them how to move. It's not about playing the sport, it's about moving.
Well, you have that, and then you have to have the conversation with parents or with, you know, even kids, that there's a difference between talent and God-given talent and skill versus, you know, the working person right here, and will the two ever meet each other? And sometimes, you know, I can't tell you how many times that I had a parent come to me and say, I want my kid to have a D1 scholarship, and I have to have the conversation of saying, I can't work them talent. I mean, I said, I can train them all I need to, but they don't have their skills coach, their soccer coach, whatever, tells me that their level of talent is not going to get them. It doesn't make a difference how hard they work in the gym. It's just that, and there's a big disconnect with that.
Huh.
Well, we do a little bit of work with an awesome physical therapist up by us, and his name is Josh Funk, and he runs a place called Rehab to Perform. And he talks a lot about multi-sport athletes and the need to get kids back to being multi-sport.
Yeah.
You know, because when they train for specificity that young, that's when we see all the overuse injuries from the overtraining, et cetera. And that kind of,
well,
I'm trying to parlay that over into our adult life.
Well, one of the best things that happened in the last few years came from Nick Saban, and people who are college football fans may not appreciate a Nick Saban reference, but what he said at one point a couple years ago at Alabama was they recruit athletes. They don't recruit football players. They look for multi-sport athletes. They don't just look for football players, but they look for kids who played lacrosse, who did wrestling, who maybe played rugby. So they're looking for multi-talented, multifaceted individuals. Well, extrapolate that now into our adulthood.
Mm.
What should we be doing as our fitness program? Should we be only in the weight room doing bench press? Or should we also be in the yoga studio doing, you know, doing cycling, doing bar? Should we be doing a variety of things because it's putting different loads and different forces into our body? And I want to say one thing really quick about boot camp. And I know you run boot camps, and this is one of the funny things, right? Because don't you have a hard time sometimes calling it a boot camp? Because you're not military. And let's face and for listeners, look, boot camp has become this generic term for like an outdoor conditioning program, for lack of a better thing. But when you look at what a boot camp is, and this is from having conversations with people in the special operations community, when you look at what a boot camp is or what military training is, when you're training to go into an elite unit, like a special operations unit, they are trying to weed you out. They want to see where you fail. They are trying to break you down. They want you to break down. If you're a 22-year-old soldier, they would rather have you break down in training than break down on the field. And they pile stress on you. The whole process of boot camp is to get you the ability to handle and make decisions under extremely stressful environments, the most stressful environment that anybody could ever imagine, then some. So to take that and to try to replicate it and say, this is where we go to get in shape as the deconditioned 30 or 40 something year old adult, a program designed to get the fittest men in the world in shape for the unimaginable horrors of combat. Right. Stresses that we can't even begin to fathom. You know, that's what a camp boot camp is. It is taking you to the ultimate discomfort so you learn how to operate in an environment of extreme stress and discomfort. Is that something we should be doing for better health?
No.
I mean, I just asked that question.
No, I know
where your head is with this, but I'm sure you would rather be calling your program anything else than a boot camp because you understand that paradox there.
Well, it's funny because we have now talked about, and we have some changes business wise for us going on.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you. But one of the things that we want to do is actually, I think we've talked about losing the boot camp moniker, right? And going back to what we originally were, which was a group training moniker.
Yeah.
And understand that our group training, you know, in terms of that's, what does that mean? And that means, well, it could mean a bunch, it could be we're doing strength training today. It could mean we're doing more mobility work today in our sessions. It could mean that we're doing unilateral work today. But it's not designed to just be there to kick your ass, so to seem. It's there to be smart and to be purposeful.
And that, to me, to the crux of it, is what, as we've gotten older, becomes the key component of fitness is smarter, not harder.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it is. We were talking a little bit about, you know, kind of smashing. I go heavy. I lift. I'm just starting a heavy phase right now for listeners. And this is just, it's understanding that how you structure your workouts is sometimes more important. I only lift heavy. Now, since I've turned 40, I only lift heavy 2 times a year. I do 2 heavy cycles for about 10 or 12 weeks each. So 52 weeks out of the year, where we just started, and so from now through about middle of March, I'm going heavy. So I'm doing 10 weeks now heavy, and then before my birthday's in August, my goal is to always deadlift over 300 pounds by my birthday.
Awesome.
I mean, until whatever. So starting about, you know, mid-June, I'll start going heavy again. So between like mid-March and mid-June, I'm either doing body weight or I'm doing kettlebell. I'm kind of alternating. I'm not on the heavy weight.
Okay.
I'm doing some strength training, but I'm not doing max strength training. I only do maximal strength training 2 times a year. The rest of the year, I'm doing some sort of moderate intermediate. And that becomes how we train smarter as we get older. Because where I think we get into mistakes, a lot of people in the gym, is we get stuck in just what you said, only doing one thing. Training heavy is great, but we should also be doing other things.
Yep.
Mobility work, yoga, I love yoga, but it shouldn't be the only thing you do. And I think it's really smart if you look at whatever you enjoy doing, if you want to double down and do it, train for an obstacle course race, go all out and do that for 8 or 10 weeks, and then do something different for a little while. You know, and that's where too. I've been talking with friends, and I'll share this with listeners. I'm gonna actually go and learn how to teach bar. I've only taken one or two bar classes, but I'm like, okay, let me learn how to teach. This format is obviously popular. It's doing well in my area. I live in San Diego, North County, San Diego. For listeners, there's many bar studios now as there were CrossFit studios about 7 or 8 years ago.
Huh.
You know, you can't swing a dead cat in our area without hitting a bar studio or an indoor cycling studio. Whereas like 7, 8 years ago, you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting MMA or CrossFit.
Yeah.
Everything's now evolved. It's gone from MMA and CrossFit now to bar and indoor cycling. You know, I've been teaching indoor cycling for years. I'm like, oh, let me at least learn how to teach bar because A, it's new, and B, it's a relatively gentle format on the body. It's not going to beat the body up. And C, it's popular right now. I mean, it gets people coming in. So why not, you know, figure out how to teach it?
That's cool, man. That's very cool. I was actually another topic I wanted. I know we're running short on time because you've got to get to a session and teach.
Yeah.
And that could be another one we talk about one day. Maybe
do absolutely.
Something, but is talking about, you know, how things kind of trend in and trend out of fitness. Because it's interesting to watch, you know, how some things are cyclical. I think you and your last podcast touched about how like some people are coming back to like stationary machines.
Yeah, I'm working on a thing for Nautilus and for listeners.
Bad.
Dude, it's not
them with something else.
But
right?
but that is what we don't have is we've gone so complicated that we have two generations of trainers, Eric, that have come in the industry in the last 10 or 12 years. All they know is barbell, medicine ball, and kettlebell, and straps, TRX. They don't know how to set somebody up on a leg press machine. They don't know how to set. And when you look at it, when I was training full time, if you were my client, I knew you would not be comfortable doing some stuff on your own. So I taught my clients how to do a full 8-machine circuit on their own. I wanted to empower you. In my mind as a trainer, I want my clients coming in working on machines on the days they're not with me.
Sure.
Why? They're safe and you're going to get strong.
Yeah.
Right? You're safe. Machines are safe. You can't really, you got to work to hurt yourself on a machine. You have to be using it wrong. You have to really be using it wrong to really hurt yourself on a machine.
Yeah.
So what do I want with my clients? They're only going to come in 1 or 2 days a week when they're not with me. I'm fine with using machines. I want you to use machines.
Yeah.
For my parents are in their 70s now. 15 years ago when my niece was born and my dad was going to be taking care of her as a baby, I wanted him to do functional training. My dad is 75 years old right now. His balance is going. His attention is going. And I'm like, no. I do not want you lifting free weights overhead. You're in machines. I actually just got a membership. My dad has a membership at 24 Hour Fitness. I got a membership so I can go in and like, no, this is what you do.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is what, because I'm like, because for him at 75 years old, he needs the overload. He needs the strength training, but I don't want him lifting a free weight overhead. Because at 75 years old, that noise across the gym could distract him and all of a sudden a 20-pound dumbbell's falling on his head.
Exactly.
That's where I become a proponent of machines. It's like, but, and here's the thing, what we do sometimes as educators, it's not the only thing.
Right.
Machine training is a safe, effective way to get the benefits of resistance training, but you need to be multi-planar directional movement. You should still be doing TRX or bar or Pilates or yoga. It's not the only thing. And that's where I think we make the mistake of anybody in fitness. Trainers make the mistake of, I like one piece of equipment, that's all I use with my client.
Right.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're all guilty of that.
I go through phases of work where I sit with that piece of equipment like nonstop. And I'm like, okay, Eric, you gotta get your shit back together because you gotta give everybody some other stuff.
You just become stuck. I always call it, I get stuck on my 5 favorite exercises.
Yep.
All of a sudden, I'm using the same things with everybody. It may or may not be, but anyway. The other thing to help regular consumers become aware, not to get stuck, not to get bogged down. And also, too, don't be afraid to try something new.
Yeah.
If you go into a new class, go up to the show up a couple minutes early. And here's where I want to finish this. For anybody who's going to try something new, show up a couple minutes early, introduce yourself to the instructor and say, hey, please keep an eye on me. What you don't want to do if you're taking a new class or taking a class for the first time is don't show up right as the class is starting and just kind of hang out in the back. Because then I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're about. I can't keep my eye on you, especially if it's a format you've never tried before.
Absolutely.
I mean, would you agree with that? I mean,
100%. And what I do actually is, happened this morning. We had somebody come in for her second, session today for boot camp. And she came yesterday. She was, nervous. And she was like, I'm really sore. I'm like, don't worry about overload today. I said, just come in and move. I said, you're not going to do everything perfect. And I partnered her up with somebody, with one of my veterans. I said, here's Stephanie. I want you to come work out with Stephanie because she's gonna guide you. She's gonna help you when I'm not around, and she's gonna be your partner today. And they loved it. They worked out really hard together. And so that's one of the things that we do. Once we find out that if somebody's in our setting, we always make sure someone shows up a little bit early so we can show them the ropes, show them the space, show them introduce them to the instructor, and then we introduce them to the group and say, hey, this is so and so's first day today. Everybody's going to get in and make sure we give them a hand and make sure everybody's inclusive with them.
But and that's what I've seen. You guys have created that community because that's so important. I mean,
yeah.
People want to feel like they're part of something, right? Is they want to feel like they belong. And so I think, and with that, if you get people coming in, and one of the things I saw recently that I love, and I forget who posted it, I'd love to give them the credit, was it was something to post about somebody who's trying to lift workout, but they weren't feeling it, so they just shut it down and left the gym. And I think that's an important message is, rather than trying to, there are those days when we're firing in all cylinders, right? And that workout feels awesome. You're loving it. You go up a little bit heavier than when it's cranking.
Yeah.
But then there are also those days where, you get warmed up and you're like, I'm not feeling it.
Nope.
And I think those days we need to, you don't always need to be perfect. I think we sometimes have this human condition where we always need to be perfect. We always need to go, some days it's not going to work. Those days I tell my kids, when my kids are misbehaving or having a bad day, I was like, guys, let's go to bed early so we can start over again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And with fitness, sometimes we got to do the same thing. You know what, right? Is that today's not going to be the day.
Yeah.
You get bogged down at work, your kid, whatever, has a chipped tooth. All of a sudden, your workout time, gone.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the day. You know what you have to do? You have to just give yourself the absolution. And I just made the sign of the cross for listeners. I just kind of absolve yourself. You're not going to do anything today, but tomorrow is another day, and tomorrow you can do a little bit better. Or get out and just try to be a little bit active. I think we sometimes get too hung up on always having to do this thing, and then we beat ourselves up for not being active, when in reality it's just like, hey, it didn't happen today. Try to do a better job tomorrow. Maybe we'll go take a walk. Well, I appreciate that. So, you know, I do have to be going. I am teaching a session. I really, it's so much fun watching you do this, you know, watching you put this together. That's why I thought, man, it'd be just fun having this conversation with you, because I think you guys are putting out killer content. You've created a killer community. And so it's just fun watching what you guys do. Yeah. I just wish we didn't have 2,800 miles between us, because it'd be fun to see you guys more often.
I know. We'll get our way out there to California at some point. It's going to happen. Then.
Exactly, and don't be afraid to fly, man. Modern air travel is safer than driving.
I know it is. All right, we're going to wrap it up. I want to respect Pete's time and get him out of here. Podcast. Thank you very much, Pete. Thank you very much, you guys, for listening. Check it out. We'll have a couple more episodes coming up this week with some other great people. Of course, leave any comments, questions, share it, follow it. You know all the good stuff. Everybody have a great day. We'll talk soon.